This is Kieran Murphy, the founder and presenter of the Across the Four Lakes podcast.
Since the underage intercounty championship started, it has been unrelenting with at least one game a week. Carlow's hopes of a run in the Leinster Senior Football Championship have passed. The hurlers have put up a good performance against Galway, but the odds-on favourites came through without too much fuss. Pat, there hasn't been a lot to celebrate lately, has there?
There hasn't really. I suppose we haven't been celebrating great results. What we have been doing is saying these guys played well, or a certain set of players played well, or we played well for 10 minutes, but we haven't really come along and said we've played really well and we deserved a win there, because we've, as you say, we've had very few wins.
Well, just the wins we've had, like the other 20 footballers probably have been really the shining light, probably not a light, but they've been our best performances so far. They lost their three games in the championship. Two of them, they could possibly have won them. The last one against Wexford, yeah. First one against Laois. Wicklow beat them well, and the under 20 hurlers really just scraped over the line against Kerry in the championship game. Played well since.
The footballers, I suppose, against Laois the first night, we let in a goal just before half time, and that was a signal, really, having played really well up to that point in the first half, and we're doing very well. And in the second half, look, we missed a penalty, but we missed one or two other goal chances as well in that game. And at the same time, you know, everybody left, I think, feeling positive about the style of play that we're playing and the commitment and everything else. So we were quite happy that day. Against Wicklow then the following night, they were very poor, I have to say. They were really poor. And then they lifted our spirits again big time down in Enniscorthy playing against Wexford, and were unlucky to get caught in the last minute and a half, two minutes. We had a couple of chances, we didn't take them. They went down the field, they took their chances. But, you know, and then against Offaly last week, Offaly ill-disciplined, poor. And, like, they won the All-Ireland a couple of years ago, and our fellas played really solid stuff, and, you know, which is kind of unusual. We had goal chances and we took them all. We scored three good goals, could have scored more, but we really looked well. We looked like a good, solid football team, playing a nice style of football, attacking, great pace, and very disciplined, I have to say. It was a very impressive performance by the under-20s. The hurlers, as you say, have very mixed bag. Probably lucky enough to get over Kerry, played really well against, I think it was Kildare, and then the other day against Westmeath, poor, very poor.
Yeah, well, what's the story, really? Like, as Mick Hill would say, if hard work was all that was required, there wouldn't be a problem. And Pat, you're like, let's say, you know, sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
Like, you're down near the pitch.
The action,
I don't know, have you missed a match this year yet at all?
No, I don't think I've missed one.
Photography,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, so you're seeing a close-up. A lot of what I'm hearing back from people is that there's no physicality in the teams, that they're... They lack physicality. Is that a fair comment, coming from where you're looking at the match?
I suppose in some ways it's a very fair comment. When we would look at the physicality, the physique, I suppose, of opponents that were playing in both hurling and football at underage, you know, the other teams are a little step ahead of where we are. And that was borne out, I think, strongly in Mullingar the other day for the under-20 hurlers. You know, now Westmeath have some fine, fine hurlers, no doubt about it. But we had no... If we had three, four players maybe that might make their team, you know, that's kind of a concern. Now, at the same time, they had played very well against Kildare, you know, the previous week. So it's a mixed bag. It's up one day, it's down another day. But overall, I suppose, yeah, from a physical perspective, we look to be a small bit behind at underage. Now, looking at senior hurlers, I don't think we are. I think we're getting everything that we can out of that particular team, and they're, you know, they're playing really well, really good stuff. You know, where the footballers did not do well at all now against Wexford.
Yeah,
that was a very poor day.
Just saying with the hurling, the under-20s last week, there were a few players. Like, you're never going to get 15 players coming through. And I think what I'm hearing back is that, and again, I don't know if it's anecdotal or whether it's actually being realistic about it, that there are, you're hoping to get three or four players out of every under-20 side to go up to the seniors. That's probably a bit high. But
we need them. You know, it's not a question of, you know, we need these guys. We need more guys to come in. And, yeah, like, there's three or four fellas. There's a young O'Neill fella playing halfback. There's Tim Brennan. There's a Doyle chap there. Young Quirk, Keane Quirk, fine hurler. All good hurlers. And I think they have the know-how to make it at senior level. Okay, from a physical perspective, they need to broaden out and get a good bit stronger. But those guys in particular look to have what's necessary to, you know, at senior level to make it.
Yeah.
That's just my view. Like other guys, I think should come out of the woodwork if they stay at the hurling, stay at the physical side of it and the mental side, which is equally important nowadays as well. So if they keep out all those things, yeah, we'll get three or four guys out of it. But we need them because, you know, our senior panel needs extra blood coming in just to refresh it every year and for us to stay at the level that we're playing at currently.
Yeah, you mentioned the mental side. When you're losing games,
yeah,
you might have all the will in the world. But
yeah,
you're going out there. Like, I go out to play golf.
Yeah.
Sort of the usual thing about golf is not going to play well. And
yeah,
you fulfill those ambitions, you know.
Yeah.
And even though you might feel you're sort of, you know, you're ready to go, deep
yeah
down, you know, come to the 16th, 17th, and 18th,
yeah,
if you're not confident,
yeah,
you're going to lose the game. And maybe there's a bit of that in a lot of Carlo teams, nearly all Carlo
there is,
teams,
and
unfortunately.
You know, there is. And, like, you know, I suppose one of the poor performances, say, was the minor footballers against Wicklow, in Wicklow, in Aucrum. And at the same time, you know, a week or two before that, we played Wexford in SETU at the same level. I thought we played a lovely brand of football. And I thought, you know, okay, the score, we didn't come out tops on the scoreboard, but I thought we were trying to play the right type of football. Now, do we have the players to play all of that? I think we have four or five fellas on that team that will come through, again, if they stay at it. And I think the key thing is for those guys and the people that are around them in their clubs and the county mentors, that they keep in contact with these guys and keep them going over the next year or two and ask them, well, how often are you going to the gym? How are you getting on there? How's the diet going? You know, things like that. Because if you get fellas to buy into it, then you can keep them. And that's the big question. Like, can we keep those guys going? So I think even though we've had poor results at both underage football and underage hurling, I think that we can get lads out of those. I'd be very hopeful that we have, you know, guys in both panels at under 20 and at minor level, that we can get them up as far as where we need to, you know, where they can take their place after a year or two maybe on the bench, like with senior team.
How about the schools, Pat? Like, you know, we're behind, we don't have the same volume of players going into the inter-county side that schools like Wexford have, Kilkenny have.
Yeah.
Even up at Kildare, Nace coming through there as well with the footballers.
Yeah. Yeah, but the last team to beat Nace in Leinster, as far as I know, was Carlow CVS.
Seriously?
Yes.
How many years ago was that?
That's
now?
About 2017.
Yeah.
That's about the last time they were beaten. They were beaten here in NCP, across the road from us here. So, you know, at that time we had good footballers in Carlow CBS. CBS this year won the South Leinster B, or beaten another in a Leinster semi-final, and probably got more out of that particular set of fellas than other teams that have gone by in the past. So, you know, there is some work being done in some of the schools. Hackiston are doing good work. We have three fellas roughly per year on the Knockbeg senior football team. That's roughly what we have had over the last 5-6 years. That's the reality of it. Boris is, I suppose, you know, in times past they were getting results in senior hurling. I don't think they've been as successful in recent years.
There was something there last week. I just saw it on social media. I didn't hear about it at all.
Yeah.
Some senior league. Now, I don't know what it is. I didn't check up on it. But there was something, like any kind of a win at any stage.
Oh, no. Look, anything should be celebrated, right? Any win, absolutely, I agree with you. I suppose I worked as a secondary school teacher for 38 years. And in that time, I suppose I did see a drop off in the number of students that were coming in that had played football and hurling at primary school level. That, I think, is an area where we need to have a look at it. Now, I do think myself, on a personal basis, that the onus now has turned from the primary school in particular over to the club. We've had the best of I suppose qualified people in the past that have gone to primary, been in primary schools as teachers, and they haven't really seen it as their, how would I put
their
it,
their mission in life.
Yeah, they don't see it as their you know, and that's fair enough as well, because look, they're busy at other different things, and maybe they're involved in their clubs and so on, and that's fair enough. In the past, you had the Christian Brothers, as they say, and you had others, and they put in a lot of work. Those days are gone. And we're looking now at the quality of coaching and the amount of coaching sessions that they're getting the clubs. Now, on a really positive note, I was in Fenner for about an hour and a half on Saturday morning, and I was watching, let's say, the Division 2 fail hurling going on. And the difference between the first game and the second game that guys had played, there was, if they played anyway, anyway well in the first game, the confidence they got from that showed in the second game. And the quality of the hurling I saw was really top class. From the four or five teams that I saw, Ballinkillen, Naab Breed, Setanta, Carrowtown and St Mullins. Now, St Mullins won it out, I believe, on Sunday. And in the A division, let's say, Burn Rangers beat Mount Leinster Rangers by a point. So,
wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that result.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, what I'm saying is, there's, look, in one sense, probably the smallest club numbers wise is St Mullins as regards primary schools. And look what they have done. They have beaten Carrowtown and Setanta and Ballinkillen and Naab Breed in the B. And at the other end, then, you have Burn Rangers, who don't have a school or a serious, traditional school setup of teachers working in their. Producing fellas for primary for their club level, and yet at the same time, wow, they beat Mount Leinster Rangers. So, look, there's a whole lot of we could be very negative and down. I suppose it's understandable when we've looked at some of the results, but at the same time, I think there's good shoots there coming through in all of the clubs as well at the same time, because we are putting in the work, and the coaches are doing their absolute best as well.
Pat, if the hurling hobo Aka Liam McGough was here, he'd talk about teams, Carlow teams, who get the finals.
Yes.
Now, B finals and C finals and D finals. Now, Leo is very adamant that the only way to improve is to be playing A finals, and that there's no point in dossing it up, that if we get to a C final, like, it's great to get there. But at the end of the day, it's the A finals. You look at Mount Leinster Rangers. They go to play in the A in the Vela. Like, we could have a minor championship here and the top four teams, they play off two semi-finals. But then the fifth and sixth team, they play off what we call another kind of a final. We have to, recognise that the players are all playing. But the bottom line is, if Carlow inter-county teams are to improve, they have to be playing at the highest level and not be playing these sort of... consolation finals. Look, there's lads bringing these fellas out to pitches, they're playing them, they're getting games, and they're coming home. But there's no improvement at inter-county level then, at that level. It has to be at A level where you have to celebrate these wins.
Like to play in A hurling in school level, at second level in school, like there's a gap. It's a massive gap. That's the reality. Like, in three quarters of the schools in Carlow, you wouldn't have one fella that would get on, say, an A school team in Kilkenny. That's a fact. That's a fact, because I've been around the block.
Dunham Murphy was probably the last one celebrated.
And his younger brother, like, was on the panel this year, So, look, fair play. And they have gone to that school, and as a consequence, there you can see they're hurling. You can see it in them. They're hitting the ball off the wall and hitting the ball to each other, and in training three times a week with their schools. So that's not happening in all of the schools. And the same thing applies in relation to the football. There's no doubt whatsoever about that. So, like, it's difficult to get to the level. And I think it has to be a combined approach between school and club. It has to be. And if there is good cooperation, and there has been good cooperation between schools and clubs, then...
Is it there now, Pat?
In fairness, it's fairly good. Now, to be very honest, like, a lot of clubs, like, have looked down on what schools have been doing, because, again, like, as a school teacher, I've heard lads saying, oh, yeah, you bet that club. Yeah, we did, and we won that game, and that game, and that game. Now, that's not happening in every school. Let's be very clear about that. Hurling is not happening in every school. Football is, maybe they're gathering a set of fellas, like, say, for a match on Thursday, they're gathering the previous evening. So, again, there's a whole lot of different things that need to be, I suppose, there needs to be an uplift in the whole lot. If, again, we were to compete at the highest level that we possibly can, So, like, in 2017, we had a football team inside in CBS, and there was about six of those fellas playing inter-county between Laois and Carlow. I don't know about the other schools. Could they say the same thing of a school team, say, in 2015 or 16 or 17, whether that's the same scenario? Boris can, from a hurling perspective. But there's no other school in Carlow can say the same thing, as far as I can see.
Just an aside, Pat. How many of that CBS team that won the All-Ireland B went on to play senior football?
About
Carlow?
About six or seven.
You name a few of them. Jordan Morrissey
is one. Ross Dunphy is two.
Cormac was a teacher. Sorry.
Yeah. Colm Hulton. They played in 2015.
Brian Byrne on that side?
Yeah, Trevor Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Byrne, Trevor Collins, the young Lowry was another one. Like he's been, he got married there recently, and congratulations to him from Collection of Great Footballer, and a fine chap.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we've Evan O'Carroll as well. He's played senior football with us in Sidon's Carra CBS. One of the youngest ever fellas to play for Laois, and he's current captain of the Laois football team. So we can hold our head up high as far as I'm concerned in CBS, that we produce an awful lot of good footballers.
Yeah, coaching. The coaches are coming in for a bit of criticism at the moment, and I hate criticizing coaches, because I'm sitting here, I'm an hour here in the house now, and the buses after pulling up, the coaches are all getting on, the players are getting on, and they're all heading off to Kinnegad now.
Yeah,
a lot of these coaches now, I don't know if they're getting any money or expenses or anything like that, but unless they were completely committed to it and interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's they put in a huge shift.
The county coaches, and that's with every single team down to the under 14 Colts hurling and football, are putting in enormous work, and I really do take my hat off to every single one of them, and the managers as well.
But like, where is it going? Is it is it population as well? It has to be part of it, but...
Well, I mean, if you take... like, let's be honest now. Let's be very honest. Like, half the population of the county is in Carlow Town. And, you know, how many hurlers have come from Carlow Town as a whole to represent the county in the last 15 years?
Can of worms there, Pat.
Oh, no, and I understand there's major can of worms. But that's the reality. That's I mean, that has to be faced by everybody that's involved in hurling inside inside in Carlow Town.
The biggest population, you know, is producing the least amount of...
Well, absolutely. And, you know, a major thing again, and I've pushed the can of worms as regards what the relationship between hurling clubs and football clubs actually is in relation to promoting both sports. And that's a major issue as well, and something that hasn't really been grasped and dealt with on a concrete basis, where clubs have actually sat down and met and cleared the lines in relation to talking about it. Because I've been involved in quite a bit of it. I've had quite a number of fellas. I've had a long involvement with Carlow Town Hurling Club, where we had plenty of hurlers. The next thing is we didn't see them at all because they're playing football. And you kind of say, why is that? Yeah. And so there's a major debate needs to be is required in relation to, you know, promoting hurling and football on an equal basis in Carlow Town in the next 20 years, if we're going to get the number of players that we should be getting that are going to represent us at both hurling and football.
Yeah, Conor Lawler is probably the last.
Conor Lawler, and before that, Carlingish.
And he's playing with a club. And
He is. And fair play to him. I think he's a great chap. He's a fantastic lad. And I salute every single player, every single fella, and every coach that's putting in the work at club and also a county. Every single one of them. There's nobody not trying their best. Everybody is trying their best. But sometimes we need to come along and, you know, have other questions, have other debates as well in relation to how best we can work together. That maybe is something for the clubs and the county board maybe to chair and look after that for the future, especially in relation to Carlow Town.
Listen, you're getting ready to head to Kinnegad now for the under 20 footballers that are playing at Westmead up there.
Yeah.
But just before you go,
yeah,
I wasn't in Galway on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was at the Provincial Towns Cup. Brilliant win by Tullow.
Still
smiling over that. It was a fantastic performance.
Yeah. Great to see John O'Brien winning it. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm delighted for him. Yeah. Delighted for him, yeah.
Listen, Galway, what was your thoughts on the day?
To be honest, I suppose Chris Nolan was struggling with sickness and has been. James Doyle, massive loss middle of the field. Like, he's a powerhouse of a hurler. He'd get on, I think, nearly every county team.
Just going back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, and the thought crossed my mind as well. If you're looking at a fellow with strength and conditioning and a fellow who's fit and a fellow who's committed, James Doyle is the player to be looking at.
Oh, he's phenomenal, yeah.
So
he's
go on.
He's phenomenal. So he was, look,
huge
loss. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting on the Nationals, like, where, you know, Tom Lally spoke about, you know, where some of our players, you know, just the physicality, the speed of it, that, you know, that our fellas maybe haven't been used to that for a while. But you know something? I thought our lads were up to the speed of it. I thought our fullback line was fantastic. At this level of hurling, it kind of really struck me, being at ground level, that let's say that they were trying to take on, say, Paul Doyle numerous times, and Paul Doyle's immediate hit or first contact with the player was such that he stopped him for a second and he didn't try to really go around him the second time. So, you know, I think an awful lot of our players, like Paul, I'm only picking just Paul out now as just one, because they really clearly identified him as a possible weakling as far as I'm concerned, and he stood up to him, no problem. and clear the ball.
Every time we come in here and talk about a Carlow senior hurling team, we talk about the full back line being weak. And then we were sort of biting our own words dead. We're contradicting ourselves.
Yeah, we are. Now, look, we pushed them back to about 4 points, at 5 points, 4 points, and that sort of crack. And Deborah Connor Whelan scored 3 points. Now, I think the guy is probably one of the top four hurlers in the country because he's almost unmarkable. His speed. Now, the one thing I think which is a concern for Carlo is that the delivery of the ball that Galway had, a little bit of time they had, they were able to put the ball into the corner, and Kevin Mack was really, as our sweeper, was really, I won't say struggling, but he found it difficult to get across the field.
He was being isolated, by the Galway attack.
And they were able to find the corner men or the full forward line. But you know what? I thought our full back line were outstanding. I thought our midfield was outstanding. It was great to see him wheeling back again. He really dug in. Marty Kavanagh scored a point in the first half. Oh, Jenny Mac. Brilliant.
Talking to the Galway fellas afterwards, were you?
I was talking to a fella at half time, a fella in the corner, like a codger, and he had a pen out and he had a yoke out, and he was saying, "Where are you from?" And the usual old chat, So as a consequence, I was very slow. I normally try to get a tweet out at half time, so I was flipping slow.
Talking to this lad.
So he was predicting that Waterford would beat Cork, and he was predicting that Limerick would beat Clare. And it was at half time now, Anyhow, he knew he was hurling very well.
And he was right to walk out.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't have, as the man says, like a lot of other fellas, he wouldn't have huge respect for Cork and great respect for Tip and had great respect for our lads as well. I got a nice photograph beforehand, which kind of, goes against something that was in the Nationals today from another reporter where Henry Shefflin and O'Shea, originally from Tip, and the two of eyes are turning around and they're watching the Carlow lads, and O'Shea is pointing out the Carlow lads to Henry.
Seriously?
Yeah. I have it. I'll put it up on Twitter maybe the next day or two. And I was again, respect, So Carlow have that respect now at this stage,
Fair play to them. If they are to stay up, they really need four points, I'd imagine. Antrim is obviously one to target.
Yeah, I think Antrim got a bit of a licking now the other day from Kilkenny, Got a serious licking. And Wexford are smarting, so Wexford and Rockland are going to be very difficult to beat. And at the same time, I have to be honest, I think if Lee Chin is held, now, a very difficult man to hold, but if we can stop him and O'Connor, I think we have a really good chance against them.
It's funny enough about Wexford. All Carlow sort of says, we could beat Wexford.
Yeah.
Is it go back to the memory of beating them in an E-game years ago? What is it?
Well, you see, we're neighbours.
People ignore Wexford's results. Well, you see, we're good.
An awful lot of lads are neighbours. Like, they know each other. So the clubs play each other a little, not a huge amount, but they play each other quite a bit. So as a consequence, there's no fear there. And I mean, our senior hurling team don't have fears anymore. They know that they respect, like they said, the Galway and Dublin and Wexford are all good teams. But there's no fear in them. And you can see that. Christy Keeley, Pat Murphy and Tom Mullally, they don't have no fear. They have great respect for players, which is a different thing to fear. And that kind of respect is shown, and lack of fear is shown in how the lads are playing at the moment. That's as I see it, And when you be up close, you can see the guys putting in serious hard work, really hard work, and been up almost up to the pace of what Galway were the other day, So look, I've great hopes for Saturday evening against Dublin at 6 o'clock in NCP. I'm really looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. I think we'll give them a rattle. I think we'll be better than we were last Sunday against Galway.
Listen, thanks. I'll let you go.
Yeah, we may hit the road. Yeah, take care. Thanks, Kieran, for having me.